in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord and leave me here.
Welcome back to Phantom Island, brought to you by our lovely friends at Homefield. Indiana finished the season as the number one team in the country.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when this one is going to come out, but on the day we're recording it, that is true.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I would like Homefield to release my family because I'm tired of saying Indiana's the number one team in the country, and I didn't realize that was in the agreement. Please release my family.
It's fine.
Indiana is, in fact, the number one team in the country in tackle football. I like to throw out tackle football. Sounds funny. Sounds like I'm being witty and coy.
Touch football, who's to say?
I feel like they'd be good at touch football now, too.
Yeah.
Apparently, he runs a very light practice, that Cignetti.
Okay.
Ryan, we're not here to talk about Kurt Cignetti today.
No.
I'm sure we will as the confetti rains down in Miami. Hopefully, the show's coming out before then.
We have an Indiana connection in today's episode, but it's very small.
A bit. Okay. You asked me a question.
Mm-hmm.
That turned into a show.
Yes.
That sort of also is going to turn into a referendum on the football program at your alma mater. But that was not your original intent. And in fact, I believe all this came about as innocently as possible. And then we just ended up kind of crashing into a very personal part of the subject matter. So in the thick of the carousel.
Maybe even before then, the early part of the carousel. But go ahead.
Probably one day we were just eating lunch, and I was telling you. So one of my favorite things to do since we started Phantom Island is like I still get all the phone calls, obviously, for like college football coaching stuff, even though that it's not technically my job. And so sometimes, like when Ryan and I just go eat lunch together at work, I'll just be like, "You won't believe what I just heard," or "Can you believe that what I heard?" It's just nonsense, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked before in previous episodes about how I hung up the phone with somebody and I looked at you in a ridiculously early part of the season. I said LSU's going to open, and you're like, you weren't, it's not.
You didn't say that. It wasn't that LSU was going to open. It was that they were interested in having some conversations.
Yes, and you naive, gentle child. That means it was going
to
open.
No, but listen, you have explained to me both on and off mic before that – sometimes, like,
yes, they do.
The fact that conversations happen doesn't always mean a thing is going to happen. Yeah.
This was after
something you have. It's just something you do.
Yeah, we've already talked about this. They only had one loss on the season.
Yes, I mean, look, it did open. The LSU job certainly did open.
I remember thinking though, when I got off the phone, it's going to open.
Okay,
because,
and you were right.
And here's why. They didn't call around in the off season, just being like,
"Sure,
who's your favorite client?"
We're updating our Rolodex. Yeah,
this was like,
we're looking for an excuse to expense a lunch.
Yeah, this is like, if I were to total a car this weekend,
right?
What's on the dealership lot if I show up here on Tuesday with an insurance check? Mm-hmm. Hypothetically,
how to fire insurance fraud? Google.
Oh man, I didn't even open it in the private Safari browser. All right, we're gonna talk about John Summerall today because there's enough dancing around it. Ryan, you asked me a question.
Yeah.
What makes John Summerall this number one candidate?
Yes. Yeah, so all of last year, even though he didn't leave Tulane, all of this year, when he eventually takes the Florida job, one of sort of like the bedrock, not principles, but maybe storylines of the coaching carousel is John Summerall is going to take a big job and he's going to be in high demand. Those things are true. He did take the Florida job. He was rumored for Ole Miss, Auburn. I mean, he wasn't rumored for Kentucky because it didn't open then, but he certainly would have been in the mix if the timing had been different.
Because you don't spend time on Kentucky message boards.
I don't, and I never will, to be clear.
Yeah, healthy life choices.
But what I often like to do with things like, oh, John Summerall's like the hot name in coaching, is pull way back and just sort of ask the very simple question. Why is that?
Why?
Why is John Summerall regarded as the next hot thing that you just have to get? Because while I think he did a very good job at Tulane, number one, he wasn't the first one. Like, Willie Fritz is the one who turned that program around. So it's not the story of, okay, here comes guy who completely remakes this program that was in the ditch. Mm-hmm. And he had done well at Tulane, but not necessarily to the level of like, yep, they just went undefeated like 3 years in a row or something like that. Correct. So that's why I was sort of like, not, I want to, I feel like I have to explain myself a little. I'm not asking this from the perspective of, I secretly think John Sumrall sucks and I want you to tell me why he doesn't. It's really just the broad curiosity of why did the carousel and its associated parts settle on, yeah, this is a guy that people should want to go out and get and people will go out and get.
Nor are you asking as a Florida fan.
No, no. Because there's a whole separate part of this that we're going to get into about, like, the comparison Sumrall will draw with his predecessor, Billy Napier. I'm not really wrapped up in that. I think there are a lot of good reasons to explain.
Guess what? I know.
You're going to wrap me up.
I'm about to wrap you up in that, boy.
But no, it is, to the extent I can, it is divorced from my personal interest in the Florida football Gators.
Well, I've watched you divest in personal interest from the Florida football Gators for quite a while now. But
I've traded it for the Eagles, so I wouldn't say I've done a great job personally.
I'm going to drag you back in, buddy. But first, we're going to get rid of all those people who haven't plunked down their hard-earned money on the bar for this sweet, potentially inebriating, I've lost this metaphor podcast content. All right, you want to hear me ramble on with a really, really bad metaphor and also explain, you know,
I was promised podcast gin. Bring it.
Did Ryan get a good head coach for his program?
Oh, come on.
Will this podcast make you legally intoxicated? I hope not, because studies show that the majority of our listeners are commuting, and that would be dangerous.
Yeah.
Go to phantomisland.show today. Become a subscriber. You can sign up for as little as $10 a month or $100 a year. That's a discount, by the way, if you're good at math. You can get access to not only this fine program, but the entire library of fine Phantom Island's premium programming. I like that. That kind of sounds like it should be on a gin label.
It does, yeah.
Like a good gin label, not like a bathtub gin
not
label.
Not a plastic bottle gin label.
Nothing that was made at home.
Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber. Our theme song is also called Phantom Island from the album of the same name by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.